You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to William Hill's boxing podcast with the one and only Steve Bunce on the line. You well, Steve?
You know what? I've never been better.
Excellent.
I've never been better.
Superb. That's what we like to hear. It's obviously a cracking time at the moment for in the world of boxing. Loads of exciting fights week in, week out. But a sad week in a sense, Buncey, but also a week where we can do a little bit of celebrating one of the all-time greats, a boxer who really was made famous to many people, myself including, by the wonderful boxing film Raging Bull, the sad death of Jake LaMotta.
Yeah, Jake LaMotta dying. It's an odd old thing because you're absolutely right talking about the Raging Bull introduced you to him. Well, it introduced most people to him. Before Raging Bull, he'd spent about 25 years of his life drifting in and out of terrible jobs, prison, where he was actually on a chain gang, convicted of pimping, and he'd vanished. He was nothing. The Raging Bull saved him, absolutely rejuvenated his existence, not his life, because he had no life at that point, and it gave him a new lease of life, and he found fame off the back of a movie, which is why he seldom, if ever, criticised any single part of it. The stats are staggering. 106 fights, won the world title eventually. In his 89th fight, he won the world title. In his 89th fight, so it's 106 fights, 7 wives. Died at 95. Had a very famous movie made about him and was just about... as high profile a character as you could possibly get in the sporting world.
Yeah, anyone who's listened to this who hasn't seen Raging Bull, I'm imagining there aren't many of you out there, but it needs to be on your list of things to watch this weekend, because it's obviously one of the all-time great films, let alone sports films, let alone boxing films, Buncey.
Absolutely, it ticks every single box. And he only has one complaint with a movie, LaMotta, and in fact, I wrote about a special night I spent with him back in 2001, I think it was, yeah. He only has one serious complaint with the movie, and that's in the sixth and final fight with Sugar Ray Robinson. He was the first man to beat Robinson. Robinson was 40-0, and he beat Robinson, but he subsequently lost the other 5 fights. And in the final fight in 1951, when LaMotta loses his world title, it was in February, and it was known as the Valentine's Day Massacre, because Robinson gave LaMotta such a beating, but LaMotta wouldn't go down. And in the movie, Robert De Niro, or Bobby, as Jake LaMotta called him, taunts Robinson and calls him in and laughs at him. And he said, "I never did that. I would never do that." This is a direct quote. "I never did that. I would never do that. I had too much respect for him. He was a class guy." So that's the only flaw he has in the movie, is that Bobby De Niro, Bobby, as Jake said, got it wrong, and he never actually taunted Robinson. So there you go. Yeah. Bit of inside.
I like it, Buncey. Loads of fights this weekend, and loads of them priced up on the website. So take a look at the undercards on these two big fights that we're going to look at. Let's have a look first of all, Buncey, at the fight taking place at the Forum in Inglewood between one-time Olympic hero Luke Campbell and Jorge Linares. This is for the WBA World Lightweight title. Campbell 17-1, Linares 42-3. Linares, of course, we've seen recently fighting Anthony Crawler, and then they had the rematch as well. He won both of those fights, of course. Fought Kevin Mitchell as well back in 2015. Remember that one? Pretty savage KO in the end. It strikes me, Buncey, that Luke Campbell it seemed like he was destined for glory. That loss he had back in 2015 kind of didn't derail him, but it made people think, he isn't the blessed one. This strikes me, maybe since then, look, he's fought Gary Sykes, he's fought Mendez, Matthews, Lopez, Perez, won them all. I think he stopped 4 of those 5 opponents as well. It just strikes me, Buncey, this might be biting off a little bit more than he can chew here. Linares is 2-9, Campbell 100-30, obviously travelling overseas here as well, 22-1 the draw. Linares to win in round 7-12, by the way, is 11-4. That's enhanced from 12-5. What do you think?
Yeah, I know you have to look at it on paper in a cold light of day, and you have to think this is an easy fight for Linares, even though he's an old 32, turned pro at 17 in Japan. The Mendy fight, it's the one you talked about where Luke lost. It was a disturbing defeat. because it was one of those classics where you barely break a sweat to get to whatever he'd got to at that stage, probably about 12-0 or 11-0. And then suddenly a guy doesn't fall over, then a guy that hits you back. And he went down, Campbell, early in that fight, about the fourth or the fifth or whatever. He didn't look happy. He didn't look right. And he lost. It was a split in the end, but he lost. But more than that, he didn't look right. And since then, he has had a couple of half-decent wins, Arguinis Mendes and Dales Perez. Now, you have to... There's two ways to look at this. The fight, the defeat made him, and we often preach on here that it shouldn't be all about unbeaten records. But it shouldn't be about unbeaten records. But you shouldn't lose your unbeaten record because you haven't prepared and because you've taken a guy lightly. So you only really learn if you, in my opinion, if you put the work in. If he cut corners before that fight, and in his head thought it was just a case of showing up and winning, then that's something that you can never beat out of a person. So I'm not convinced that. That defeat was the making of him, although those wins since then are certainly decent. Linares is a great fighter, you know, on and off champion. Tough, a couple of back-to-back defeats against good fighters, DeMarco and Sergio Thompson, but back in 2011, 2012. Unbeaten sequence since then. Plenty of defences. I think Linares is a big favourite here. A really, really big favourite, unless... We're going to find out on Sunday morning that he couldn't make the weight, unless we're going to find out on Sunday morning that his hands, when he's had troubles in the past, were terrible. I mean, I still make him a heavy favourite. I'm not quite sure he'll go for a stoppage. I think, you know, he's quite content doing what he does. He did it for 24 rounds against Crawler. I fancy Linares on points. I just think that Campbell will fall short. But it's not a fight. I don't think it's going to be a fight that hurts him or like the Kevin Mitchell fight against Linares ends his career. I don't think that's the case. He's still only a baby, relatively. He's only had 18 fights and 29 years of age. In boxing terms, he's still relatively fresh. So I'm going Linares on points.
7-4. So just under 2-1 for Linares to win on points. Let's have a look at this heavyweight fight that we're looking forward to here, Bunty. Absolutely. I mean, heavyweight division, as we know, has been flying for a little while now. And Tyson Fury was the name on everyone's lips for a while. Still is to a certain extent, to be fair.
Still is.
Huey Fury takes the limelight here against Joseph Parker for the WBO World Heavyweight title at the MEN, formerly the MEN, Manchester Arena, as it's called now. Huey Fury's record reads 20-0. And his opponent, Joseph Parker, who's fights out of Vegas now, but is a Kiwi by birth, 23-0. When you look down Joseph Parker's record, Bunty, look, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it at all. There's 18 KOs in those 23 wins. But I'm not sure that the opponents warrant the hype that comes before him. Sometimes we all know that he's a good fighter, but you could say the same about Huey Fury. To be fair, the opponent list in those 20 wins, 10 KOs, it's not glittering, is it?
No, they both had some very easy nights at the office. Parker's had a few harder fights in recent times. In fact, since Huey last fought officially, which was April last year, Parker's put in 43 rounds, including a couple of world title fights. Last time out was a stinker against, I think, a fella from Romania. Not even going to try and tell you who he is because it meant nothing before the fight, nothing during the fight, and nothing after the fight. But hey-ho, that's
good.
The
good. So it's one of those good Scrabble names.
I'm sure he is. High speller. High count. But he had a couple of other fights last year that were decent. Certainly better than anything that. That Huey's done, and he's been active. And I don't mind Joseph Parker. I'm not going to get carried away with him under any circumstances. I consider Parker, you know, in a different world, Parker would be the number three or four contender. It's just that we live in a fake, ridiculous boxing world where everybody seems to have a belt of some description. I would have Parker, obviously, below Joshua, below Wilder, probably below Pulev, below Povetkin, below the potential returning Huey Fury. I'd like to see Parker, see how he does against a motivated Dillian White. But he's a top 10 fighter. He's a top 10 heavyweight in 2017 standards. The fact this is about to become his second defence of the WBO title is almost meaningless. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. It's great that there's a belt on the line. But with Wilder unbeaten and with Joshua unbeaten, you know, they've both got a couple of one belt, and Joshua's got a couple. That's a bit silly. That's silly enough. But to have this guy in is even sillier. But hey-ho, that's the way it works. I think it's a tricky fight for Parker. And I think it would be a really hard fight for Parker if Yuri Fury had had a 10-rounder in October and a 10-rounder in, let's say, March of this year. However, at some point, the fact that you've been out of the ring away from competitive fights, even if they weren't that competitive, you still got to go through them for such a long time. And the fact that Parker's managed to put in 43 rounds, including a couple of 12-rounders in that period, gives him an enormous, enormous edge. Yuri Fury is probably tactically and technically better than his cousin, Big Tyson.
Yeah.
But I don't think Tyson would have been ready, to be perfectly honest, to fight at 23 years of age. And that's what Yuri is. He turned 23 a few days ago. I think it's a hard fight for Parker. It would be a really hard fight for Parker. I still think it's a difficult fight for Parker. I just think that at some point, he'll start to kick on. He'll start to find his range. He'll start to land the jab a little bit more. And he's got a good jab for a heavyweight, thankfully. And I think at some point, also, Yuri will start to suffer a little bit. No matter how many months you've been in the gym and how many logs you've carried up and down hills in the Lake District and how many swims you've had in Lake Windermere. At some point, if you've been out of the ring for that long and if the other guy's been in the ring and been so active, at some point, you're going to start to suffer. And I've just got a feeling Parker's going to get to him after about 7 or 8 rounds, probably by about 9 rounds.
The price for let's go 9th round, that's 20-1. If you want to widen it out a little bit, Parker in round 7-9 is 13-2. And there's a few other options you can get for rounds there. If you just want Parker in the second half of the fight, this sounds like a cracking bet, this, Buncey. Parker to win in round 7-12 is 4-1.
Wow.
That sounds like a good bet to me.
That's a great bet.
I like it. Yeah, you get the whole second half of the fight on your side.
This is an occasion when a defeat does make a fighter. Yuri Fury comes back from this a much better fighter. But at the same time, if and Peter Fury pulled a miracle out with Tyson Fury when he went in with Vladimir Klitschko, he'd been out of the ring a long time as well, an awful long time. I think even longer than this, if I'm not mistaken. He's already done it once, Peter Fury. He knows how to get these guys ready. I'm just not quite sure that Yui's as tough at this point as Tyson Fury was at that point.
Yeah.
However, if he defies me, then it's a comfortable win on points for Yui. And it's a great rematch down the line. And Yui's going to be in the mix, trust me. But I'm just fancying that bet there, that second bet. 7-9 or the second half of the fight, 4-1.
Yeah.
Hey, they're not bad bets. They're not bad odds, those two fights.
Not at all. Parker is 8-11 just to win the fight. Yui Fury, 11-10, so a pretty close one, full stop. Parker by KO is 15-8. By decision, 11-4. Fury by KO, 5-1. And by decision, 7-4. So that Fury by decision is actually the shortest price of any of those method of results at bets, which is interesting. It's an interesting betting heat, this one, Buncey. I think it's going to be a cracking fight, like you say.
I think it'll be a great 5, 6, 7, 8 round. And then I just think it'll just be, I think that's when Yui's tank's going to empty.
Buncey, thanks for your time as ever.
My pleasure, Lee. Always a pleasure. I'll speak to you very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.